Psalm 98. We've got a series here of psalms that began last week, talking about the general topic of judgment, what that is, and how it impacts us every day, and it does, every moment of the day almost. We're creatures that have been entangled with this idea of becoming judges. We look at things and we immediately judge them. We hear things and we immediately judge what we're hearing. We become judges. And this is an aspect of God that we weren't to embrace fully. And it was because of sin and pride that we did, all the way back to the garden. When they bit of the fruit, it was the promise that they will become like gods, like judges, knowing good and evil. So that was what we bit into, and that's what we're dealing with in this topic of Psalms here about judgment. And there's all sorts of things that are coming out of this. What I had last week has already changed completely. So trying to yield to the Spirit as much as possible and allow God to have His way with us and teaching us. The first psalm today is Psalm 98, and that is Judgment Unto Worship. It's just the title of it in the Bible is a psalm or a song. From the teaching and what the context I got out of it, I would call it Judgment Unto Worship. So the titles of the next three or four songs are going to be Judgment Unto Something. And now we know that we want to be free from judgment. Jesus says, do not judge. So there's freedom from that. There's deliverance from judging, the unholy kind of judgment. Our focus in these next psalms is going to be the right kind of judgment. So we're delivered from judgment, the one that they bit into in the fruit in the garden. We're delivered from that kind of judgment that sizes up people, that puts us above other people and all of that stuff that creates wars and rumors of wars. The disease of humanity is stemming from that. We're going to look at our deliverance now unto healthy, righteous judgment. And this first one is judgment unto worship. Judgment unto worship. And the resource of this judgment is the righteous judge, the beautiful judge, who is Jesus Christ, who is God Himself. God is a beautiful judge. He's a righteous judge. He dwells in this perfect light. He is the perfect judge. We can say hallelujah to all His judgments. We can even enter into praise and rejoice because of His judgments. They are right. They're true. They're like right on. They're like, man, that is perfect. Judgment unto worship is because God is a beautiful judge. He's a beautiful, perfect judge. And it brings us into a place of worship. It brings us into a place of a new song. Verses 1 through 3, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. There was a new song just playing when I came in this morning, and it was Marvick and the Buckaroos. What was it?
Brothers McClurg.
Brothers McClurg. I thought I could hear these Spurs. These guys coming, these cowboys. There was kind of the country's music.
The only song.
and Gretchen loved it. And, you know, that's not her genre typically. So that was exciting to hear that. It was even her favorite at Kingdom Bound. The Brothers McClure, where there's six shooters on it. I don't know if they look like cowboys at all. Okay. That's what I heard when I was singing it, or vision. Sing unto the Lord a new song. New songs are awesome. Where are they coming from? Where does the material come from new songs? Well, if it's from man, it's going to be the same old stuff, S-O-S. I'm going to be singing about my broken heart from this relationship. I'm going to be singing about the booze that kicked my butt last night. I'm going to be singing about everything else that's worldly and under the sun. But this new song is something much higher, much more glorious than what man could ever dream of. So this resource, the material of this new song, comes from the works of God. Did you hear it when you were at Kingdom Bound? Did you hear it this morning when you were singing? The lyrics, This material comes from the works of God. Amen. It's not man's words. It's not, hey, cool, I've got an idea, I'm going to sing about it. It's the works of God. God did this, and it's caused the material of this song. I can only imagine it's something we talked about recently. That's a great example of that. You can watch a whole movie about a new song. They came from the material of the works of God in someone's life. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Why? For he has done marvelous things. He's the material maker. He's the songwriter. Yeah, Roger.
It's like that one song, I think saying it right, Give Me That Old Time Religion. It was, he wrote that song, he was inspired by his grandfather's faith in the Lord.
Wow. Amen.
You mentioned that there.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. He's done marvelous things. He certainly has. And we can each testify to that as Christian believers. As you age in the Lord, what increases is this material for new songs. Isn't that awesome? If you don't continue with the Lord, if you continue on the path of your own ways, it's going to be this SOS, the same old song. Same old thing, and then be dragging your butt 20 feet behind you. Monday again, and I can't wait to get to Friday. Why? I don't know. So I can get through the weekend and have Monday again. And you know, it's the same old thing. It's an endless, eternal, material pool of new songs that God supplies. Can you imagine the you were at Kingdom Bound, and you saw that, you know, it was just like you... Roger, you're manifesting that today. It was just like, wow, all of this going on, all of this. Can you imagine knowing all of the testimonies, that the work that God has done in people's lives? It was up on the screen when I came in. It caught my attention. I read it as the opening verse. For those that love his salvation, and that just jumped out at me. Loving his salvation, because I know what comes with that is the material of new songs, new life. The Lord has, in verse 2, has made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. It's not a city on a hill that's hidden, Jesus would say. It's not a candlestick under a bed. You know, it's openly shown, and that's what we're to do. We're to openly declare the glory of God. It's to be open. Our faith is to be open, not hidden. He has remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. This new song in our life, by the way, you should have this material all the time working inside of you, welling up into even vocalizing and being able to sing or speaking positive things to other people about the Lord, about life, about eternity. All of the new song within us is resourced in this beautiful, perfect judge who is God. It's his works, the things that he's decided to do for human beings, that he's decided to do in creation. There's a lot of new things, isn't there? It's not just new songs. We're promised a whole new creation. I get to be new. A new creature in Christ, we're promised in 2 Corinthians 5. His mercies are new. The covenant is new under Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed on the cross. We're promised a new heaven and earth. You're worried about this and that and the other thing? A new heaven and earth are to come. A new heart he promises to give us. Taking away the stony heart. A new heart that beats in tune with the frequency of heaven. It's a kingdom heart. In 2 Corinthians 5, in fact, it says, behold, all things become new. So my perception, my outlook, everything is new. Let's read the rest of this particular psalm. Well, up until verse 8 anyway. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Roger, you read Psalm 66. A lot of our worship songs this morning were of that nature of the whole earth. It's that perception that we have. It's that the whole earth, you are to become a worship director. Do you know this? Do you realize that? A worship director of everything around you. You hear birds singing, you hear the frogs, what do?
Croaking.
You hear the wind blowing through the trees. You are to be a worship director. Allow that sound to be worshiping God, that you perceive it so. You're the director. You're the worship director. This is what is being told us here. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Do you hear what's happening? He's like a conductor. He's telling us to be a conductor. Birds, go. Frogs, go. Sing unto the Lord. Rocks, go. Sing unto the Lord. You're a worship director. And finally, coming down to this creature himself or herself, worshiping God, to say unto your own soul that might be cast down, that might be challenged, is to worship God. Praise the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Man can even take a tube and drill holes in it or some wood and put strings on it. That's part of being a worship director. This isn't just a tube. I can put holes in it and make music. These aren't just strings. I can make shorter ones and longer ones and make music unto the Lord. You're a worship director. Sing unto the Lord with a harp, with a harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of a cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar. Don't be afraid of the sea and the ocean. Roar! Roar, man. This is the glory of God being manifest. God is awesome. Allow that just to penetrate who you are and reverberate inside of you the praises of God. Let the sea roar. And in the fullness thereof, you hear the thunderstorm coming in the summertime and you hear the crack of thunder. Glory to God. Praise the Lord as you're running inside. The world and they that dwell therein, let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. There it is, the beautiful judge, the righteous judge. So pure in his decisions. In the works that he decides to do, that we can say he's a beautiful judge. Beautiful. For he comes to judge the earth with righteousness, shall he judge the world and the people with equity. That's fairness. He's a righteous judge. We might not understand it in our human intellect now because we can't rise up to his intelligence. We struggle with that, but the promise is going to come when we will understand things to a much greater degree. We'll say, yes, amen. This makes sense. Psalm 98. Judgment unto worship. Resourced in this beautiful judge, God, who has decided to work in your heart, in my heart, and work in our lives, circumstances even, to bring this material of a new song, a new creature, new mercies, a new covenant, a new heaven and earth, a new heart. Not the same old song, folks. If you're singing the same old song, time to trade in the old jukebox and get it redeemed. Just the new heaven and earth, the promise of that can give you a new perspective, a new outlook, and a hope. And there's new songs that we know that have come out in our lifetime in regards to that. The song Revelation by that little girl, wherever she is.
Revelation song.
Revelation song. Carrie Joe.
Job sang it.
All right. Days of Elijah. These are songs about this new heaven and earth, coming to judge the earth. I'll Fly Away. Talking about our future in the kingdom of God. That's an old one. God is coming to judge, the perfect judge. Nothing will be hidden anymore. The hypocrisy will be revealed. Agendas will be revealed. He's a beautiful judge. We can step into that and rest and rest and hang up our job as being a judge of everybody and everything and step into the courtroom of the beautiful judge and allow him to be the resource because he is perfect. Allow him to drive the new song. Allow him to drive the circumstance, situations that you're in. Judgment unto worship. Circumstances are everyday life. It's a fancy word for everyday life. And I saw that a little bit this morning, just a little snapshot. You think, what's going on up the hill at the Myers house right now? If anybody thought that or anybody cared. In one moment, one slice of time here, I look up. I am pulling together some notes of loose thoughts through the week. And I look up, Ellie is licking the batter to the pancake spoon or the beater and just up there on a chair doing that. Asher is barging into the bathroom and Grandma is warming up her vocals, which is the most annoying thing you've ever heard in your life, is the sounds that that are required, but it's required. It's part of that. It's like gargling salt water and it just, you know, it's one of those things that are necessary for music to be beautiful. It's awesome. But that warm-up is kind of hard. But she was doing that. She's in the bathroom. Asher's barging and Dad's like going, no, don't. You got to knock first. And Isaac, just at that second, is breaking out with that I'm hurt cry. Do you know what that is, Moms? You know that one that you've got to really move on? You know the difference, right? So all of that happened in the same split second. And I'm just like this observer that's watching it all and writing it down, of course, for this moment. So Psalm 99 brings us to judgment unto wisdom. Judgment unto wisdom. So this is the new judge, the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. When you call him Lord, that means he's the judge now. You're not. You step off the throne, that means you're not the judge of things anymore. And you allow the perfect judge. Judgment unto wisdom. These are the practical matters of life because situations develop. And it feels like you're being pulled sometimes in three different directions, especially if you have three kids. Judgment unto wisdom. Judgment unto worship. Now judgment unto wisdom. God would separate us. That means sanctification. We're being pulled into an area from being a crappy judge or a crummy judge unto his beautiful judgment working within us. Judgment unto wisdom, real wisdom. Verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He sits between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. We have a joke at the house when it's time for dinner. Everything's done. People have been working on it and everything like that. And everybody's got the plates out. And it's just like as soon as it's like time to pray, we say, cue the baby. Because it's when they just bust out and cry. But this is everyday life that people experience. The circumstances, the challenges that we have, it's to have this wisdom. To be able to know how to react to situations instead of allowing the situation to drive your actions. You have this perfect judge that is allowing you to have wisdom in these situations and know how to react. The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He sits between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. Those are types of angels. The Lord is great in Zion. Israel, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible or awesome name. You see terrible in some translations, like the King James, it means like wow, awesome, and it causes you to tremble even. It's something that's hard to even contain or wrap your head around, for it is holy, or he is holy. The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. So there's three resources of this beautiful judge working inside of your life that brings you into this place of wisdom. Humility is the first one that's mentioned here in the first few verses. The next one we're going to see is hearing. There's three H's, easy to remember, or write down anyway if you're a note taker. Humility, then hearing, then holiness. Humility, hearing, and holiness. Hazy, hot, and humid are the weather reports you hear a lot during the summer where you have the weather report in the kingdom of God. Humility, hearing, and holiness. Hearing God in an intimate way, humility, and holiness. This is holiness having to do with the absolute truth that comes from God. It's not relative, it's not wishy-washy. This Bible, God tells us that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. We see that in the New Testament. It says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So we need to be careful in the context of wisdom, of knowing things, of being a wise guy or a wise gal, that knowledge can puff up. That's an entranceway. It's a gateway for pride to come into someone's life. So God says, be careful with that. In the context of Psalm 99, he gives us three ingredients to deal with knowledge properly. For knowledge to turn into wisdom, you need humility. It's always involved in there. You have to have humility. Otherwise, you have this puffing up of knowledge, and you're no good to no one. I don't care how much you know. I don't care what you know. You're no good to anybody except yourself. You're impressing yourself. If you don't have humility, you don't have wisdom. You might have all kinds of knowledge. You might be Mr. Google. You don't have wisdom. And wisdom is what comes from the perfect judge. It will help. It will heal. It will edify. It will build up. We need a resource to handle this knowledge that God gives us as we learn. And that is the resource of humility. The same God that gives us this wisdom is the one that would die on a cross, is the one that would come to us in the form of a baby in a manger through two peasant folks. The humility of Christ is working in each one of us as we receive him. Verse 4, the king's strength of Psalm 99 also loves judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Praise God. I flip from one thing to the next. I can, you know, in opinions or whatever, feelings or emotions. But God is that rock. He is a fortress that does not move. And that's what we need in our lives when it comes to wisdom. We need his holy presence, his holy truth, which is absolute. And it's so comforting. It's such a place of rest to know that God isn't going to change from one day to the next and flip from one day to the next. That he's consistent. He's solid. I like that. It's restful. It's peaceful. That God is eternal in that way. He is holy. His truth is absolute. It isn't about your opinions and mine or this culture or that culture. There's an absolute singular truth, and that comes from God. He gives each man and woman a conscience, and he gives us the written word as the revealed truth, his holiness. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them, hearing. This is the third H, hearing. Three people mentioned here, right? Moses, Aaron, and Samuel. What do these three people have in common? They're like you and me. They're made out of clay. They make mistakes. They fall on their face. They fall backwards. They fall sideways. They're human beings. What's another thing in common? They need a Lord and Savior. They need to hear from God. They need a relationship with this God that created us. They had to make decisions. They needed wisdom in their lives. In particular, these are three leaders. And they had to make a lot of decisions. But no one is without this. We all have a circle of influence in our life of people that we impact and affect. Little Haley was mentioned today at the car wash. You know, and that could have gone backwards, where it was like Maddie could have said, nope, we only allow kids here that are going to contribute, and immediately shut it down and said, take them back home. But it yielded to a greater wise one, the Lord Jesus working in his heart. And so patience came, and then fruit was revealed of that. Cool examples all the time around us. We have to make decisions. Moses had to make decisions. Aaron and Samuel. Sometimes bad ones were made. For Aaron, it was making a golden calf because of the pressure of the people. Where's Moses? What's going on? All their entanglement in Egypt and stuff like that. We need something to worship, and giving in and caving in to the people and the pressures of the people. Not a holy judgment was made. He's holy. Just making the people happy is not a good idea all the time. Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. What does he mean by that? He means God is holy. And there's going to be ripples in the water when he comes in. Because there isn't wishy-washiness with God. Well, a golden calf, people are happy, they're dancing around, isn't it all good? No, it's not. Smoking a joint, well, everybody's good about that. You know, shouldn't we make it a law and encourage people to do it? No, it's not. Good idea. Well, I feel like putting on a dress right now. I'm a guy, and I should be happy. But it's not a good idea. Because we have a holy God and a beautiful one. So many testimonies of people that have been have encountered this judge in a beautiful way. They said, come to me, just like you are, with your dress on, Paul, whatever it is, you know, whatever weirdness you have in your life, come to me just as you are. I want to make you into something beautiful. I want to make you into something that is going to blow your mind. So many testimonies of people that were in all kinds of weirdness, that when they encountered this beautiful judge in the right way, not condemned, not shut out, but they were brought in, being loved, into the kingdom. So many great testimonies. People have written books about it, how their lives were transformed by this beautiful judge that we have, a holy judge, one that wants to speak to us and that we would hear, not to puff us up in knowledge, but they would have this intimate knowing of Jesus, of the Lord in our life, and the humility every day to allow the five-year-old to wash the tires. The humility that we need for wisdom. Praise God. The triple H's, everybody got them? The king's strength loves judgment. Moses, Aaron, and Samuel. Moses struggled with self-doubt. Anybody have a problem with that in here? You're a robot if you don't, you know, if like doubting that God could use you, doubting that you could ever be this, or doubting that I'll never be whatever, fill in the blank, or this will never be. Self-doubt. Moses, the big guy in the Old Testament. You have Moses in the Old and you got Jesus in the New. Jesus being greater, of course. But Moses was the big guy. And what did he struggle with? Self-doubt. I can't even speak, God. There you are, giving excuses to God directly. But, I can't. That's the wrong kind of humility. That is the wrong kind of humility. Moses was able to take that, have God challenge him, and rise up to the wisdom of God and realize that God can do. Samuel anoints the least likely to be king. He's looking at it, it's like, oh, 6.5 foot, 6.5 foot. Look, mighty warrior, and then you got little skinny David there, the shepherd boy. Who are you going to elect for president? God's wisdom from this perfect judge is awesome. It's exciting. It's the new material that we write songs about all the time. Next week, we will break into Psalm 100 and 101. Judgment unto serving. Then finally, judgment unto a life of worship. A life of worship.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Someone approached Billy Graham once, and he'd been internationally known. He'd been all over speaking to kings, speaking to the Russian president, whatever, all over, going places that, you know, diplomats in our own country couldn't even go. But they would see Billy Graham. And somebody, maybe it was a news reporter, I don't know who it was, came up and said, so how does a guy with, like, almost no education, who really is just an old country boy, you know, how does God use somebody like you? And Billy said, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God the same thing. You know, just the humility that he had to answer that reporter and to shut him down. His arrogance or whatever, and just put down Billy. To stay in that place of humility, not to rise up and make himself, which he could have listed his credentials, he could have listed everything. He didn't do that. Jesus didn't do that. And he was before Pilate, and Pilate said, what is truth? Where are you from? He stayed in this place of humility, like a sheep going to slaughter. God, teach us, Lord God, not only the information that we need to know, the knowledge, but teach us humility. Teach us, Lord God, your holiness. Teach us how to hear from you, Lord God. Help us see that in a child's face. Help us see that in a kind word that is spoken, Lord. Help us make a difference in the people, Lord, that you put us in the path of even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.